everybody. Welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby podcast. I'm so excited to share today's conversation with you. Today, I am sitting down with Catherine and Sarah, who is a deaconess in the United Methodist Church, and she works as the manager of faith and community relations at an organization called Kids Above All. Our conversation today is about helping build better lives for kids. We talk about what Kids Above All is all about and the programs and services that they have for kids and families. But we also talk about our faith and what it means to be a good neighbor and to do good in the world and to share God's love. I'm really excited to share this conversation with you. Let's jump in.
It's great to be here. My name is Catherine in Sarah, and I am a Park Ridge resident. I actually was born and raised in Park Ridge all these 60 plus years. And my parents moved here from the city and raised our family of seven kids in Park Ridge. I am a member of First United Methodist Church, Park Ridge. I've been there since 2004. And I have worked in the church as a youth minister and a director of family ministries at Park Ridge and at a church on the North Shore called Trinity United Methodist Church. It was in the film,
Home Alone.
Home Alone. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot that. I always said we're never alone. And then since 2019, February 2019, this is pre-COVID, I was fortunate enough to get a position with an agency, a child welfare agency called Kids Above All, formerly ChildServe, because we rebranded last year. And in that position, I'm the manager of faith and community relations. So I do a lot of outreach and resource development. I do that as me, Catherine. I also do that as a deaconess. I'm a lay woman in ministry consecrated to the ministries of love, service, and justice in the United Methodist Church. So that's a little feather in my cap that I don't wear, but definitely emboldens me to do the work that I'm doing with Kids Above All and building better lives for children. I live in Park Ridge. I live with my mom. I bloom where I'm planted, out and about. You see me on a bike. You see me talking to dogs. You see me talking to kids. I really cherish the city of Park Ridge and the opportunities, not that it just not brings me, but it brings families who are here raising their kids and those who are retired and still investing in our community and our schools and our churches. And all that makes Park Ridge a really neat place to live.
Absolutely. Always kind of surprised how many adults I meet that are born and raised in Park Ridge and are back, whether they're back because they went to college and came right back, or they are back because they went and had careers elsewhere and came back. But I think that's telling about a community. If it's a community people choose over and over again, it tells you something kind of special about it. And I meet people all the time, mostly through Sunday night suppers, is where I meet the most adults outside of my own congregation right. Where I serve. And there's a lot of people who are Park Ridge born and raised, and they're back.
Yeah, that story keeps going, Amanda. I was never going to live here again, but never say never. I did. We raised our girls here, and Madeline and Celia Peterson, you know, went to Carpenter School. They went to Emerson School. They went to Maine South High School. They were at First United Methodist Church, Park Ridge. They're not here any longer. They live in New York and Paris, France. But perhaps one day they may land back here. We never know these things. But it is a very vibrant community, and I've seen so much change since I was a child, and that's for the better, an opening of minds and hearts and borders, so to speak, to really embrace people and differences and just be, you know, respectful and living more, you know, with harmony, with unity. And that takes work. We all know that. Yeah.
Definitely. What was it like for you moving from, you know, church work with families to agency work with young people? What, you know, when you made that move in 2019, what were some of the biggest differences that stood out for you?
Well, one of the big differences, I didn't have to work every Sunday. Although I work many Sundays.
Because you do,
I do. I preach and I teach, share children's messages, adult education. But a lot of that has been through online for the last year, so we can do the recording or be live in person. But really, the difference was now I had one foot in the church and one foot in an agency. And that's kind of been the story all my life. I've worked with the church, but I've worked in nonprofits. And now as a deaconess, I just take all that I have learned along the way with me to an agency that has been around for 127 years this month, serving children, serving youth, serving families throughout Chicagoland. And of course, because we started as a Methodist deaconess orphanage in Lake Bluff in 1894, we have that a Methodist affiliation. That's our legacy. So I get to have a lot of fun lifting that up and continuing that. But I'm still working with children, youth, and families, right? And although it's not as religious, air quotes, it is faithful, right? It's purposeful. It's intentional to very simply build better lives for kids. And we know that that encompasses a village. It requires a village. It requires a faith community. And if you're going to look at that three-legged stool, you know, the agency, the church, and the community, you know, we're stronger together. We definitely have a firmer foundation when we are in this all together. And that's what I get to do in my role. I mean, as manager of faith and community relations, I went to a Girl Scout troop last week. You know, the week before I was online with Rotary. I did a United Methodist Women's Day of Spiritual Renewal a couple weeks ago. I did a road trip up to Zion, Illinois for a women's group. They collected diapers for us, and I updated them on our name because we aren't Child Serve anymore. We are coming up on our one-year anniversary of rebranding, being called Kids Above All, putting kids above all else for protecting, healing, and educating them so they can reach their potential in life. And when we can do that, you know, in partnership as church, agency, community, agency, there's just a stronger base there and more possibility for kids to reach their potential in life. Yeah. I love it. I get to be creative. I get to work with other people in our resource development team. I get to work with our whole agency in four different counties, about 150 colleagues from every walk of life, from foster care to early childhood, doulas, marketing people, HR people, our group home people, group home staff. It's really a remarkable collection of people doing really good work. Yeah.
Yeah. How many people is Kids Above All currently serving? So in your program, services, kind of how many people are you impacting right now?
Yeah, we're not an orphanage anymore, of course. Mm-hmm. Those were our beginnings, but we broadened our scope. We're multidisciplinary. We serve children from zero, actually in womb, through 24 years of age. And our current number is 2,448. And that spans the Chicagoland area from Cook County, Lake County, Kane County, and DuPage County. So those four counties. And we do have bilingual early childhood educators, as we do with our foster care staff. So we do, from working with maternal health with pregnant moms to early childhood, 0 to 3, that's our power parent empowerment program, and then HIPPE for parents of children 3, 4, and 5, that's home instruction for parents of preschool youngsters. That program came from Israel, and Hillary Clinton is the one who brought it to our country. It's always underfunded. We never have enough funding for it. But our home educators, and they're doing all of this televisiting. Everything has been tele. Working with those parents because they're the first best teacher. But we don't all come equipped with all the resources and knowledge that we need. So that's where we step in, and our early childhood programs get our kids ready for kindergarten. And we know that kids ready for kindergarten their trajectory will be very different than children who experience that toxic stress and don't have the resources and support networks that help them move as a child ready to learn in kindergarten and online. And then we, you know, we head into our foster care program. So our children who are not able to stay with their birth families for lots of different reasons, mostly because they are not a healthy, safe place for them to be, they'll come into our foster care system and receive, you know, come into a foster care family that might or might not lead to adoption. We work with lots of different agencies. One of them is Wendy's Wonderful Kids, and that's for adoption. So those children, foster care children, are from little bitty babies all the way up into the teens. And so that's a very extensive, intricate set of agencies and resources that work together to help kids reach their potential. We move into our group homes. Those are in DuPage County, Lyle, Downers Grove, and Naperville for 13 to 18-year-old high school students, typically coming to us from through DCFS. They come through, you know, Central Illinois, Cook County, Wheaton, in lots of different areas, but they're coming to us in order to feel protected, receive healing through trauma-informed therapy, and be educated. They're all going to school. They're going to school online. We have all kinds of really neat wraparound services that we can provide through a more holistic approach to therapy, traditional therapy, but also art therapy, dog therapy, mindfulness therapy, equestrian therapy. Our staff is being trained on Think Trauma so that our own staff, we have those skills and tools and resources to interact and support our students, our kids. They may be adopted into families or a foster family at the age of 18, or they'll transition to transitional living program, such as the Harbor. The Harbor is right near us here in Des Plaines. Some of our kids may come out of our group homes and transition to there, or other TLPs in the city. And they're getting on their feet. You know, we have kids graduating right now. They're going on to college. They have a plan in place. They have received the necessary intentional therapy and resources to get them into a much better place. I don't work with them directly, but I visit them. I do some life skills training. I bring in lots of added support, and I've gotten to know some of these young people, and they're excited. They're going into hair care. They're going into facial care. They want to go into law enforcement. There's some really cool young people that we are serving, and you know, they learn a lot from us, but we learn a whole lot more from them.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. So that group home then, you said, ends at 17 or 18?
18.
And then they would transition out of a Kids Above All program.
You would kind of partner
with other organizations to kind of help bridge.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All of those factions are at play when a young person is coming up to that point of transition into a foster family, God willing. That's a harder thing to find those families, individuals who are willing to, able to, and are passionate about fostering a young adult, or they will maybe return to be with a family member. There is that option always to reconnect with a family member that is a safe situation. Or into a transitional living program. So we have to network with all those agencies doing similar work. We take pride in our 127 years of building better lives for kids because we started as this orphanage that was truly a home for kids. They were loved. They were welcomed in the community. They had, you know, doctors. They had teachers. They had people in the community who would teach them piano lessons, take them out to a performance. Kids would play with kids in the neighborhood. It was a very, when you think of orphanage, you know, there are orphanages that are not so well-resourced. This was well-resourced because people up and down the North Shore and everybody else that Lucy Ryder Meyer, our foundress, talked to, she was just able to bring $2 by $2 by $2, people who wanted to support, because these children were either abandoned, their parents died from TB, they might have died from the first pandemic, or their parents just couldn't take care of them. So it was a different societal thing, but not really. It was because families could not take care of their kids. So our orphanage was the best of the best. And that's what we are upholding now. That's why we are kids above all. That's why we do love our kids as if they're our families. In our group homes, you know, there's structure, there's rules, there's protocol to follow. But there's mealtime, and you cook, and you eat. And when the dog therapy guy comes over, you know, and now he can come back in person outside. Everybody loves All Over Mango. They love this standard white poodle because they've seen her online for over a year. People are just very committed to helping our kids, but really walking with them. It's not just, you know, we're doing this for you. We really want to do this. And we know with the right resources and reaching the right benchmarks that you can reach your potential, but they don't just drop off the face of the earth. We do follow-up care, aftercare for 6 months once a young person leaves our group homes. We also have an eMERGE program. You know, young adults 18 to 24 have it really rough if they're homeless.
Right.
So our eMERGE program provides that living environment that is safe, that has built-in resources and therapy, you know, finishing school, getting a job. Some of these young adults have children, so they're living in, you know, our living environment in a safe way with their children, and then getting them launched by the age of 24. We're expanding that into Waukegan, gratefully through a grant for 10 rapid housing units. So we're taking eMERGE kind of on the road from Chicago and then a new facility and program up in Waukegan. We do a lot of counseling. There's a lot of therapy that we provide as well for all our clients, but even for family members of clients. We also have Camp Sheila, which is a grief camp for kids who have lost a loved one to homicide. And this was started by Kevin Doyle of the Sheila Doyle family. They lost their mom quite a long time ago. And she was a nurse at Little Company of Mary Hospital. Tragically, she was killed. And Kevin, as an adult, said, we've got to do something to honor her mom. So Camp Sheila brings kids together to process their grief, but in an environment that protects, educates, and heals. In pre-COVID times, it's outside. It's at a camp. You know, they're staying there the whole weekend. We have a ball. I've done it because I love camps. I don't do the grief counseling part, but I support them. I play with them. I talk with them. You eat together. They put skits on, you know, and then there's those grief circles that help them process that grief and loss. And there's a component for their parents. So the parents also have that time to process grief and learn how to navigate this differently so that they can continue being an intact family as they grieve these losses. So we keep going. We keep going. And I believe we come from a great cloud of witnesses as well. And people are so compassionate. People are very caring. And, you know, when we do this together, when you see a child who's able to stand up for him or herself, or know who they are, because I wasn't sure who I was before, who says, I want to go on, I'm going to college, I'm so excited. We have played a very significant role in their lives. And I hear this all the time when I'm out talking, people say, oh, we adopted a child from Lake Bluff Children's Home. No longer from the orphanage, because that was too long ago. But we adopted a child from Lake Bluff's Children's Home. I used to be a teacher at, you know, Lake Bluff Home for Children. There's been a few names. People tell me about having fostered a child, maybe not through us, but that they have fostered a child. One woman who contributed to our holiday gift drive emailed me and she said, I grew up in a group home in Western Illinois. She said that somebody gave me a Christmas gift every year. She said, I want to sponsor a child because that person did that for me. And now I'm going to drive out to Princeton to talk to her United Methodist Women's Group in June. These are people who have been through it themselves, right? They understand firsthand what it meant to be in a home where there was truly that feeling of home and love and support. I don't know that. I don't come from a foster family. I come from a family of 7 kids, you know, morning, noon, and night. Growing up in a church, growing up in Park Ridge, we brought children into our home for a couple of weeks at a time, but not really as a foster family, so to speak. But, you know, we have a responsibility to help one another out, and children are always at the core. You know that as a, not only as a pastor, but as a new mom. And children lead us. They totally lead us when we, you know, stop and listen and learn and understand the awesome responsibility of, you know, doing this thing we call life together. So we do that as an agency, and there's just endless opportunities as far as I can see.
Yeah. So. I think one of the things that makes Kids Above All unique in terms of agencies that churches tend to support, right? So often, you know, churches are their own kind of nonprofit agency, but they're always trying to serve and connect with those serving more hands-on direct service. And, you know, we at Park Ridge Presbyterian, we have some that, you know, rally around kids' early childhood education, right? Or my rally around young adults experiencing homelessness or, you know, transitional housing in Chicago, right? So parts of that are part of what Kids Above All does. But this connection of fostering, this connection of how Kids Above All takes it that next step of inviting not just these kids, but all the complexity of their lives into a home, into your home. You know, I think there's something about that, about fostering, that is so gospel-centered, that is so, it just makes sense when I think about, if churches talk about what we're about, like fostering, I feel like checks so many of those boxes of what it means to be with and for one another, to be that safe place, to be community, to gather. You know, again, the pandemic makes all of this more complex, right? But I think, that connection to fostering is so so unique and important for people to realize, you know, where those gaps are for kids.
Right.
And for people who don't know too much about the foster care system, kind of what are a couple things you could tell us about foster care, or about maybe some misconceptions about foster care?
Yeah, fostering, it's a power word. You know, when we think of the, what is it, the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes, right? You know, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
Well, blessed are the foster families. Fostering that sense of safety and belonging and love, and having to really meet all the requirements. You know, as a foster parent or family, you do have to go through a regimen of an orientation, filling out applications. You have to be approved. When you hear our director of foster care licensing, Plachette Ham Murphy, talk, she says, you know, you're gonna be doing these forms. We're gonna be visiting your home. You have to have all your ducks in a row, because we have to make sure that this child is going to be as safe as possible. That's different from back in the day as an orphanage. The pastor would just say, well, there's a family here that wants a baby. It was a very easy exchange. It wasn't all paperwork and legal and, you know, I mean, there was paperwork and a certificate, but very different. So now children are going to come to us for this safety, sense of safety, because they're coming out of a very difficult, dysfunctional, broken, potentially very harmful situation with the family, the birth family. You know, you can be an emergency foster parent, which is a little bit added credentialing, or you can be a foster parent family for short term or even longer term. But again, this involves an orientation. This involves passing through the various loops to meet those, to be credentialed. I know families around Park Ridge that are fostering children. Not all of them are with us. There's many different agencies who do this. But you know, when you see them or meet them, you know they've done a lot. It's been very intentional, probably very prayerful to make this happen and to bring these children into a safe place for the time that they need to be there, this temporary time, but a time where the child is going to receive whatever the child needs, depending on the age. It might only be, well, it might be feeding, holding, loving, diaper changing, sleeping, but it might be making sure they're getting all the wellness shots, making sure there's a school plan. And that's all on our website. I did check. There's a whole area for fostering and foster parent, you know, facts and questions. And so we never know how long a child will be with a family, but that fostering is ensuring that this child is in a safe place and is loved and has the resources he or she needs. During the pandemic, our foster families have needed more because many of them were essential workers and they lost their jobs. So all of our foster care team and agency, especially in resource development, well, how are we going to bring in masks, PPE for them? They needed food. They needed gift cards. They needed tablets.
Right. Everybody's doing e-learning. Yeah.
Yes. So we were writing grants. We were, you know, speaking up for, you know, tablets for our families, doing everything televisiting or safe, you know, drop off eventually, connecting them to if food insecurity to, you know, food for them. And because there was a pandemic didn't mean that children were not still coming into the foster care system.
Yeah. Did you see, so my husband's a police officer now, and he talked about some of the increase in the domestic calls that they were getting on the job in the city where he first worked. Mm-hmm. What the people coming into the system, was it at a much higher rate? Did kids above all observe a higher rate of kids coming into the foster care system, or was it just it continued regardless of the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we did hear a lot in the news regarding children not being in school and not being able to report, you know, child abuse, you know, domestic violence. April is the month of child abuse prevention. I don't know an exact answer to that. I do know that we had a continuous demand to support the families that we already had. Then it became harder to do the orientation for people who are interested in being foster parents. So then we pivoted and went to an online, you know, venue. But it's also about getting the word out. You have to continue to market and reach out and for people to know our name. Of course, that changed last June. So it's really more of a concentrated focus on serving all those families in our care already, all our early childhood families on the south side, in the western suburbs, southern suburbs, Elgin, Waukegan, and those counties, and all the great needs that they had. We're doing a mom in need diaper drive right now for April 15th to May 17th, focusing on Mother's Day and basic necessities that help build better lives for kids. When you have diapers and wipes, and those little bottoms are dry, and parents aren't stressing out about, you know, a box of diapers and
this adds up. This adds up, right? These diapers and wipes and, you know, formula if you're not able to breastfeed and,
And so we have doulas and our early childhood staff. They've all learned about nursing. They've got these little cute breast balls. I don't know if you've seen them. They're crocheted.
Oh.
It looks like a little, you know, little booby, and that's all good because it's about feeding the child. But they use them to show the mom how to hold.
So that she might have a little more success.
Yeah, and to massage. It's just a little practical tool.
Yeah.
So they are like, we want these for all of our staff. And they were like, who do we ask? Let's ask Catherine. Maybe she'll reach out to churches who know how people know how to crochet and they can make these little boobies.
Dear Presbyterian women, could you please crochet 100 boobies?
But we don't even need that many. We only need about 30. It's just so each home visitor can have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the cutest thing since buttered bread.
That's wonderful. And that's an email that someone like me would totally send. Can I please have some crocheted boobies?
Yeah. It's so practical. But again, it's not a natural thing. You know, there's a book called The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding. It's because we don't know exactly how to do it and we're freaking
out. There's
nothing
enough. Natural about it. I mean, natural because, also, it's not intuitive.
Right.
Anyways.
But when a woman can nurse her baby, she's saving a lot of money.
Yes.
Lots and lots of money for the diapers and the food and the other, you know, necessities. So again, if women want to nurse their children, our staff is really getting equipped and prepared
to be able to help with that.
Yeah, it's education and support.
Have there been any other kind of like out of left field or just things you didn't know you could help support families with that you guys have learned in the last year because of everybody's learning things in the pandemic? So like helping moms figure out breastfeeding is a thing that probably wouldn't have been on the old website, right? That probably wouldn't have been in a brochure somewhere, but it matters. Is there anything else that was just like, wow, we wouldn't have thought of this, but we're realizing a different way to meet needs?
Yeah. Well, we've had to do all our events online, virtual. We have events that are fundraising. In fact, we're preparing now for our Stand Up for Kids comedy night, whether it's all online or 50 people in person and online. Our first comedy night last June, it was fun and we raised money, but we didn't really know how to do that effectively. And then we went and did our gala online and we hired a company to help us. And that was super successful and fun. We did a gala for our Camp Sheila program. Now we're gaining traction because we know more how this works and how you entertain people, but you also have a compelling message and ask. Now we've got this comedy night coming up June 24th. So we're not sure what we're going to do with, you know, how we're going to do that. But we've done so much more recording. We do lots of social media and it's quality social media, right? So on Twitter and Facebook, I put out a call for people who made masks starting first of April. And that went out to United Methodist Women and other women picked it up and pop-up groups picked it up. We got in, I quit counting. We got over 3,000 masks, handmade, reusable, little baby child size, bigger size, bigger size. They'd be dropping them off at my front door or at our Higgins office and then redistributing those out to all of our areas, all of our counties, all of our families. To model, you know, proper protocol.
Right.
I would have never guessed in a million years that's what I would be doing last April, May, June, July.
Right.
But again, you know, you ask and oh my gosh, people just stepped up right and left, mostly women, but not all. And men were helping to organize it. We connected through iHeart Zion, through a church person. They ended up giving us 300 masks through their frontline fabric masks. Now that was a pop-up thing. She was like, whoa, way over my head. We did it. and now we're taking a rest. But it's amazing how resourceful people are and how generous people are. And I had a woman knitting baby blankets and baby hats. She says, I just don't like my hands to be too still. People making these masks, that is really, it really is helping me, you know, deal with this, or I'm living alone. And mm-hmm. so making masks, then I feel like I belong mm-hmm. to something bigger. And whether they're church people or not, right? Everybody wants, we all desire a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
So as an agency, you know, I'm just the manager of faith and community relations, but we had to continuously pivot, mm-hmm. continuously look at grants, supporting not just PPE, but, you know, building bricks, mortar, for all of the different housing facilities that we have, keeping these kids safe in our group homes. Yeah. They were closed a couple times. They had to go into a holding pattern because of COVID, and then go back in. So our right. group homes were around the clock.
There's no quarantining in a group home. You're all in it together, right?
Yes. Yeah. And wearing masks and doing those. But now with the vaccination, we have a huge interagency campaign for getting vaccinated. Not everybody wants it. Mm-hmm. Right. So we keep educating mm-hmm. why get the vaccination. We've connected with incredibly intelligent doctors, two African-American female doctors, recently Dr. Smith at Lurie's Children and Dr. O with Advocate Aurora Healthcare. Mm. Just phenomenal. If you don't get the vaccination after talking with them, I don't know. It's amazing how really, Amanda, I lean into the remarkable, incredible people that make this world go round.
Yeah.
There's enough hardship out there, but there are just all these intersecting circles of just amazing people. And it really does bring me hope and definitely desire, enthusiasm, just, you know, to keep doing what we do, but being a part of what we can do better.
Yeah. Right?
We can't, somebody said we can't waste a perfectly good pandemic.
Mm, yeah. I've heard that a few times too.
Right,
yeah.
Much to be learned from this. Mm-hmm. Or we can sit and twiddle our thumbs, but you know, that's pretty boring. You know, let's make a difference.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that has stood out to me about a lot of what you've shared is how much you are connected with other people who are also impacting kids, impacting families, building better lives, protecting and educating and knowing that it can't fall all on your agency's shoulders. It can't fall all on the church. It can't fall all on Kids Above All. It can't fall all on any one of these other organizations, that it really, this interconnectedness, this interdependence on one another for continuing to build better lives for our kids, which, you know, builds better lives for all of us.
Right.
Is really, it seems like a through line in a lot of how Kids Above All is approaching serving families.
Yeah. And, you know, we can be biblical and talk about being the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We all are different parts. And when our parts all come together, we have a whole part. In the Methodist Church, we talk about social holiness and personal holiness. Mm-hmm. Our personal holiness is about our relationship with God and that which we do that fortifies our fortress, right? And then the social holiness is that which we do for others. It's mm-hmm. the golden rule, which crosses every faith community and individual. Do unto others as you want to be done unto you. That's so not rocket science, but it's so challenging. Mm-hmm. And it's really how, you know, what lens do we look out of? How do we approach the day? That lens that says, hey, up and let's go. And gosh, I don't know what's going to happen to me today, but God lead me, guide me. Mm-hmm. Or because people don't have the resources they need, they don't feel safe. They don't feel a sense of belonging. It's just another day and it's dreary and depressing. Mm. And that just shouldn't be. It shouldn't right. be it, with what we have, you know, all we need is here. And it's just about continually stepping up, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about stepping up, standing up for our kids. Mm-hmm. As simple as that sounds, or even corny, I find myself all the time, yep, okay, step up, Catherine, and speak up, right? It's that speaking up so that our kids have that agency. They're on their feet. They see us doing it. That has a ripple effect. You know that. You know that from your youth ministry that you're doing. You're finding that out as a parent.
Yeah.
A leader in the community, the Sunday suppers. You know, it's it all works together, and we're there's so much more peace in our hearts when we can experience that and know that we're not alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our conversation, I have two last questions. One is, if people just want to know more, if they've felt like they're ready to stand up and speak up, where should we send them? That's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two is, you know, around our church, we like to talk about how we want to help people's faith make a difference for them. We think faith makes a difference. And so my last question to you would just be, what's making a difference in your life right now?
Great. To find out more about us, really, it's simple to go to www.kidsaboveall.org. It's just all one word, kidsaboveall.org, because that's where you'll see our timeline of starting as a deaconess orphanage all the way through our name changes. We've had six. Kids Above All is our sixth name change. Very, very intentional. And then you can find all about early childhood, foster care, group homes, volunteer opportunities, events that are happening. Right now it's our diaper drive. In July, it'll be our back to school, backpack and school supplies drive. We want all our kids to start school ready to learn. Then in, you know, the fall, we have our gala, and then we have our holiday gift drive. So that's a continuous calendar. I talk about holy calendaring. Okay, let's keep it going. That's probably the best way, kidsaboveall.org. You can like us on Facebook. You can like us on Twitter. Our marketing department of two, Kim and Andrew, are super cool and really focused on really quality marketing.
Yeah, so. Your website is phenomenal. It's beautiful. It really is. Yeah.
That was very intentional and a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet.
As far as, did you ask me what is making a difference?
Yeah, what's making a difference for you right now? It could be something so small. It could be something really big, but just what today, what this week is making a difference for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, in that I live in Park Ridge, and it's a neighborhood with a lot of kids. Okay, I love the kids. They all know me as Miss Catherine. In fact, my niece stopped over today because I live with my mom, Dorothy and Sarah, and she babysits the two littlest nuggets occasionally. And Ellie, they had to come over at lunch. My mom needed a warmer coat, and there walked in a 9-year-old niece, right? And right away, I'm like, how you doing? What's going on? And, you know, they all think I'm so silly. But I see these kids, and I every time, Amanda, every time, online, in person, I see those kids, my heart just opens up, reminds me that is truly about the children. You know, Jesus said, let the little children come to me, let nothing get in the way. As adults, we let too much get in the way, right? You know, whether we want children, you know, if they're growing up Christian or Muslim or Baha'i or Jewish or nothing, we know that love wins and that the love of God is for every person. But when we see these children, when I see these children, I know that I'm right where God needs me to be for all these years of living. It's all kind of intersected here. I just told our CEO, President Dan Katowski, he called me today about this Peace Crane project in Park Ridge. We were talking. I said, Dan, I'm all over this. I mean, I just work. My kids are grown and gone. I love what I'm doing. I really believe in building better lives for kids because children are right here, right now. Yeah. You know, and loving a child, there's just nothing better than that. When we can love our children here, those children are growing up. They are going to continue loving children elsewhere and loving their neighbors. So I'm very practical. I'm a very practical person. And everyday faith, you know, just works for me.
Yeah.
And I'll keep going, God willing. And
I love that. That's a great answer. I love that so much. And I like, this is how I can tell you're my people. I've got like goosebumps because this is how I feel about kids. And like, I could have the worst week in the world. And the 32 and a half minutes that I get my Sunday school kids in a room.
Yeah.
6 feet apart, stuck in these taped boxes on the floor, in masks. I can barely hear some of them. It's the best 32 and a half minutes of my week.
They're so brave. They're so courageous. They're so sweet.
And you said something earlier about this whole thing, this whole like loving your neighbor, taking care of each other thing. And you said, you know, it seems so simple, but it's hard, but it makes perfect sense to kids. And it's not easy, but it is simple,
right?
It is, the golden rule is simple. It's a simple concept. It's real hard to live out because you've got to get over yourself and get out of your own way every day. But kids, it makes perfect sense. And that's why it's just, why not spend your day all day, every day trying to make better lives for kids?
Right. And the investment early on is a whole lot different than the investment later on. Mm-hmm. The more we can do to build these better lives for these children and the parents who parent them and the people who parent them, that early investment, it's huge. It just makes such a difference. I mean, I'm not the research party fat gal, but I know from listening to NPR and looking at really good, you know, research, I know about early childhood. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe we're going to get that, our act together in this country. There's something happening now with food, money for food this summer, investment in early childhood. Finally, we know that makes a difference. And to do that now, as these children grow up, because I won't be here at that point, I really won't be. Those children have had what they needed from the beginning too, and they're learning about that loving your neighbor, that, you know, it builds back better, it builds forward better, you know, to be the people God wants us to be.
Right.
I love the human race. It's people I can't stand. You know, Charlie Brown said that, but it's like, okay, come on, let's just love one another. But it is hard work. And it is hard work. But when it's intentional and purposeful and investing in a child's life, it is just a blessing. It is the best. Yeah.
It is. So. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, Catherine, and sharing about really your heart for kids and your ministry and kids above all. And I'm excited to share this conversation with our community.
Well, you're so kind to invite me, Amanda. I was just thrilled.
More from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms. Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to the Park Ridge.